Hello, Pisces, and welcome to your inner space reading for 2023 and into 2024. I'm Eric Francis, your friendly neighborhood astrologer here, with what, in my world anyway, turns out to be the last of the 24 different inner space readings. I finished the Pisces written reading last night, and this audio is a combination of your reading and my, for the moment, final summation of all that is going on in the charts. There's certainly plenty going on in our lives at this very challenging and stressful time to be alive. Stressful due to all of the constant pressure, the changes that we're experiencing, the endless sources of anxiety, and what I am starting to figure out is a really deep level of displacement and disorientation that many people are feeling as a result of living around the clock for, 20, 25 years, surrounded by the digital environment, and then all of the chaos and confusion that is kind of infused into our minds and bodies as a result of this. And to be exposed to all of this chaos when we are feeling disoriented has a kind of an exponential effect, and I'm aware that there are people who are really feeling this difficulty and this challenge, whether it's coming from themselves or someone close to them. It all amounts to the same thing. So that's just a little bit of a shout out there. I understand that I'm doing these readings at an unusual time, and when a lot of people are really, not sure what to do and not sure how exactly they're going to go forward. But forward is the way we are going to go, and forward is the way that you are going to go under the influence of Saturn in your sign for the next few years. This is really the lead story for Pisces. Even though there is intriguing astrology going on in every direction, most of it centered as a kind of a focal point right around the time of the Aries equinox in March, when Mars changes signs, Pluto changes signs, and Saturn changes signs. And that is a watershed moment when you have two major players like Saturn and Pluto, which are kind of the source of, or at least symbolically, the source of a tremendous amount of challenge for many people who can't really deal with that level of depth and of necessity and the ever-present call to attention, awareness, and integrity that factors like Saturn and Pluto represent. And they're both acting in ways that are very personal for you, as is Mars. So the Pisces chart presents a couple of unusual challenges, but the most straightforward thing going on, I think, is Saturn entering your sign. It has not done so since the early 1990s. So Saturn runs in a 20-year cycle. So it was about 29 years ago that Saturn made its way into Pisces. Most recently, Pisces, of course, is the last sign. It has a special role for everyone as being the place where Pisces and the things associated with it tend to represent the place where, for most people, things go missing. But for you, it is where you are and where you live. And the Pisces outlook on the universe is a very different way of conceiving of reality than most other people feel. You walk with one fish in one world and one fish in the other world. You have one fish in the ordinary ocean and one fish in the cosmic ocean. And I would suggest you should always remember that you are likely to be one of the people who is the most intimately informed by the affairs of the subtle realms, the numinous, the divine, the what other people think of as spiritual, because it has this indescribable feeling and this sense of an aesthetic quality that seems transcendent. And for you, this can be your normal waking consciousness. What is important to know about Pisces, and I feel like I can never write or say enough about this, and you know, maybe I have in the illusion of the planet that I'm about to mention, which is Neptune. But for well over 10 years, you've had Neptune in your sign. Now, Neptune is a planet that most astrologers, say rules Pisces. I say it's associated with Pisces. It's part of the planetary picture of Pisces, part of the story of Pisces. But Neptune really can't, rule in the sense of certain other points. But more importantly, it's not a classical planet. But it does have a powerful effect. And the effect can be overwhelming in the way that people don't know that they are feeling that they are overwhelmed. In other words, it has a way of operating behind scenes and from the subliminal level of consciousness. And the word subliminal is very similar to the word sublime, and Neptune certainly does represent the sublime, but it also represents that which struggles to have boundaries, which struggles to find delineations and the edge of things. And so that's why Pisces and Neptune have this boundless quality. And that can work for some things, but in this world, we do need to have margins and borders and some way to say that this is where this thing ends and where this thing begins, even though when you get all the way down, the margin between those two may be kind of an illusion, it still helps to be able to say something like, this is what I want to have for lunch, as opposed to what you might want to have for lunch. And maybe it's the same thing, but I'm really talking about distinctions and delineations and boundaries in a very practical sense of that. And with Neptune having spent so much time in your first house or near your sun, there can be this effect of not really understanding where the delineations are, where the borders and the boundaries are. And people have found it easy to take advantage of you for this, because it's almost as if there's always a door left unlocked and you're left trusting people, or there's always a window open, and the thing between you and the world is delicate spot of needing to trust, but not necessarily knowing that. Right? We don't always know when we're in a situation that's calling for extra trust. But you are in one, and you have been in one, and you might look back at the past few years and say, "Wow, here are the ways I was encroached on or taken advantage of," and here is the good news, I think, for Pisces, and that is that Saturn arrives in your sign for 2.5 years, beginning in March. It is very important for anything involving Pisces to consciously work with the idea of and the practical use of boundaries. And that includes knowing how much money you have and knowing how much things cost and knowing how much you're capable of earning and having your priorities in order, which is a big theme that I'm going to get into in a little bit. Having your priorities in order, and also maintaining awareness of, you know, where I end and you begin. Saturn's presence will help you in this border formation process, and I think it may actually feel quite helpful and refreshing to experience this. Particularly given that you may not have consciously registered the idea that this thing has been missing, that you have not had it, and you may say, "Oh, that's what's going on." No wonder I kept coming home and finding this person sleeping on my couch. I didn't lock the door and mention, you know, not to come over unless you call first. And there's a lot of that can suddenly start to be apparent enough to have a solution, to have a practical approach. And the solutions that Saturn is offering are not complicated. It really is about things like organizing time and knowing how long things take, and ultimately having a respect for yourself that is based on understanding that you actually exist and that your existence matters. And this is a more difficult issue for people than is language is given to, right? There's a lot of important things that are talked about so little that there are not even available words or phrases or descriptions, you know, for example, for recognizing your presence in your own environment enough to respect your presence as you would respect another person who walked into the room who, you know, imagine you had some admiration for, and you might walk up to them and say hello and shake their hand and be grateful to have a moment of their presence. There is a way in which you can treat yourself in a similar fashion, and that really is something that begins with recognizing your presence, your own presence, the meaning of your own being in any situation, but particularly presence in the entire earth plane of reality in this time when pretty much everything is being reduced to the same as everything else, as being irrelevant and insignificant and lacking self-awareness to the point where it is responsible for a lot of the aggressive behavior that we see, particularly in the digital space. But of course, this has a way of overflowing into the physical space. I see it being worked out in the craziest of all places, which is people driving at 80 and 90 miles an hour on highways, thinking they're going to assert their individuality by following you at a distance of 3 feet when you're already doing like 78 miles an hour. Do you really need to tailgate me at 78 miles an hour? If I have to stop to avoid something, you're going to be in my back seat. So I see a lot of this competitive aggressive bullshit, but in physical space, but you really see it on the internet with all of this vying for being the most important person. So you don't need that, and you will need it even less, if you needed it at all, with Saturn in your sign, because suddenly you're going to feel that there is a boundary. And you don't need to wait till March for this. You can tune in to the quality of this now. It is happening. It is available now. Neptune was recently described by Barbara Hand Clow as the elephant in the room, and I just laughed when I heard that description. She's a very good astrologer, and I agree completely that the thing that we have not been talking about is this influence of Neptune in Pisces, which has been making, let's say, describing the world as an exceedingly unrealistic place. And so there is a wake-up moment for you with Saturn moving into your sign, a let's make progress. Saturn is very good at moving the story along, though it is important to work with timing when Saturn is involved. And that means divine cosmic timing, but also, like, you know, knowing when it's time to do something or when it's time to not do something. One very good thing about Saturn in Pisces is going to be that it will be there for the entire duration of Neptune in Pisces. So Neptune is going to move on to Aries in a bit. This happens over really late 26 and early 27. A lot of intriguing things happen right around that time. But the upshot here is that Saturn will be a presence in your sign for the entire duration of Neptune's presence in your sign. This is going to be helpful, and it's going to help you resolve many of the challenges that you faced and some that you didn't know that you faced over the past decade. And look, congratulations, you've gotten this far with Neptune in your sign, which can really enhance the feeling of invisibility and can have a way of making people seem to go missing. But you are listening. We are having this, you know, metalogue here. This, you know, I'm allowing all this knowledge to bubble up off this lovely piece of paper in front of me. One last thing about Saturn in Pisces. It is going to form fairly soon a conjunction or a series of conjunctions to Nessus in Pisces. So let's first of all get a couple of dates on that. And this, I think, is worth some unpacking. Saturn conjunct Nessus. Saturn conjunct Nessus, 2025. Conjunct Nessus. There it is. Okay, so you've had for some years in your sign, in Pisces, an influence that's not widely discussed by astrology, not widely understood by astrology, but is deeply meaningful to the kinds of subject matter that I talk about as an astrologer, and the things I find matter to the people who are drawn to my astrology, which is this matter of sexual and relational healing, particularly the healing of betrayal. Betrayal is a profound influence in the human experience. All of us experience it at some point, and there's a lot of it going on right now. I mean, much of what we experienced over the past 3 years of what was falsely described as a medical situation was about betrayal by a diversity of entities, including public authorities, the cartel known as science, and then also tremendous personal betrayal of people turning their backs on one another and unrighteously ending relationships and generally an allowance being made for people treating others really badly. So there's all kinds of betrayal going on. Nessus takes us to a very personal level, and it describes the legacy of such scenarios that may have followed you through your entire life, and this happens to a lot of people. They sustain an injury to their trust, or they sustain You know, they live through a certain scenario. They have material passed on from previous generations. Their ancestors passed along very negative expectations. And we end up with them. So in addition to Saturn, in a sense, pursuing, mopping the floor after Neptune, and finally putting some containment around this kind of psychic and psychological flooding condition that Neptune has represented, we also have Saturn working its way up to a conjunction with Nessus. Now, fortunately, this does not happen fast. It's not happened right away. And I believe it only happens once for this cycle. So it happens once on February 7th, 2025. Now, that seems to be a long time. It seems to be a little over 2 years from now. But the journey, the experience of Saturn, who is, I think, your ultimate setter of boundaries and your clearer of space and assurance of progress, is think of it as commencing an investigation into the matters represented by Nessus, which is generally about the sequence of events and intimate relationships where one thing leads to another, where there can be a bad outcome. And look, a lot of people are wondering, like, how it is that there are all these bad outcomes in their relationships and what to do about it. And I think that many of us know that things really don't need to be this way, but somehow it ends up that they are this way, and you now have, will soon have the tools and the utilities. And again, in the sense of Saturn, this is going to be about setting boundaries and limits, and saying, you know, this is where my energy field begins, and I need, want, and deserve, entitled to influence over what happens in my energy field as much as humanly possible. So Saturn is going to grant that, and I think that there are long delayed changes where the pace will suddenly start to pick up when Saturn, your sign, is under the influence of Saturn. Okay, let's take a little break, and I will pick up the story in the very next sign, Aries, where your classical ruling planet, Jupiter, is now living for a while. So the story of your chart continues in the second place, or second house. I'll use those words interchangeably throughout inner space. I like the word place a little bit better, but same idea. The second is one of the most important houses in a chart, and one of the most important concepts in the life of a person, because it represents the value that you place upon yourself. Now, Pisces somehow are said to have notoriously bad self-esteem, but I just don't see that as being true, whether in life or in the solar chart, which describes the qualities of the signs. You have Aries as your second place, and Aries, in wherever Aries goes, Aries is about the quest for self-actualization. It's about initiative. It's about where you seek your sense of being and your most available way to become who you want to be. And so you put Aries on the second, and this means you're going to put a lot of energy into your sense of your own belonging and your sense of your own value. Now, the second also represents actual movable assets, tools of your trade, everything you own except for things like investments and real property. So the second is it's you and your stuff and how you feel about your stuff. And your stuff includes your talents, your abilities, your resources of, let's say, creativity and other human skills that you may have, and all of your acquired knowledge and all that stuff all collects in the second house. And the question is, do you place a value on this? Do you respect what you've gotten and what you've gained and what you hold that is distinctly and uniquely your own? And I think all of this adds up to a concept of self-esteem. But the problem with self-esteem is that it is so easily dissuaded by the comments of other people, particularly, for example, people like parents who make a comment like, you'll never be a real athlete, or you're not tall enough to be a model. Whatever. It's like, well, how much do you know about the modeling business? Or for that matter, intercollegiate athletics. So most people who have these opinions don't actually know anything, and they're expressing jealousy, and they're expressing a competitive sense that now is just pretty much getting worse in the world. But look, you are actually competitive, and you have Aries here, and you have a reason to invest in yourself and to develop yourself. But more than that, you are at home doing so, right? Aries is where Aries lands in the chart is the place where the self is at home. It's the place where the self is at home, and you are at home in doing this. And so you have the capacity to build up tremendous resources and a sense of worth and of belonging, and under the influence of Chiron in Aries, the ability to heal the past hurts of people, saying things like, you'll never make a living as a bass player. Well, it turns out actually that these days you can make a damn good living as a pretty good bass player, certainly doing a lot better than a lot of other people working for minimum wage. Again, the people who say you can't do that don't know very much about doing it. There's a massive shortage of bass players, in case you feel like being a musician for a living. And bass is easy to learn and hard to master. So anyway, like a lot of things, but you have got elements going through Aries that are saying, okay, now's the time to heal these doubts, these questions. Now's the time to be fully conscious of my resources. Now's the time to be fully conscious of my value and to place a higher value on myself and my existence and my presence. And that I do not mean being like, oh, I'm so special. There's a humility involved in this, and there is a need to bring what you possess and your sense of value to yourself into the interpersonal world of commerce, which it is, in a respectful and communicable, and I'm looking for a word that means exchangeable, accessible way, right? It's not merely that you hold a high value on yourself. I mean, I know there's been a lot of people in the so-called millennial generation who were, you know, raised under the philosophy that if someone's going to crash their car, it should be into some other car than the one that you're in. That's the baby on board things that mark the arrival of the millennial generation. Baby on board. Don't crash into this car. There's a very special person on board. I do not mean this at all. This is a distortion of self-respect and self-esteem. If you have something about you that is useful and practical, Chiron should be taking you on a thorough inventory of the things that are useful and practical. To be able to exchange that with others and to get the value to yourself and to others, you need to be compatible with them. You need to have the thing that Saturn's going to give you too, which is the like, okay, you know, here's my stuff and here's your stuff. And my stuff is I know a lot about this kind of archaeological dig that like nobody else does, and you're about to do one of those kind of archaeological digs. You have to complete that transaction in some way. So whatever it is you might do, very specific kind of accounting, a very specific kind of marketing, or having a general gift of a certain kind, then there's the transacting of that in the world. Fortunately, you have Libra up in the opposite house, which does make this easier for you, believe it or not, easier for you than it is for most people. So Chiron through the second is first of all, it's going to last about 4 more years. So we get a lot of time with Chiron in Aries. In the opposite sign, Libra, Chiron blows through in 18 months. It takes 9 years to go through Aries. So that's where Chiron is. Now, Chiron, I think, is also part of the cleanup operation of a problem that I have committed to talking about every chance I get, which is the influence of the digital environment on our consciousness. The influence of what, not the content of digital, but the structure of and the immersion in and the exposure to has done to us, which has been to render most people feeling irrelevant, rendering most people sufficiently unaware of who they are to the degree where they have never really asked the question. Seek and you shall find. If you ask the question, you're a lot more liable to answer it. And so this has been, in my view, described by Eris moving through Aries for the past century. Under electrical conditions, what we're really dealing with is a case of electrified, disembodied, tribalized humanity with the prevailing message of you are no one and nothing and you don't matter. You're just a number, an IP address, and a data set. Fuck you. Swipe your card or push your finger on the button and give us money. This is a massive distortion of human existence. It is particularly a massive distortion given the progress that certain psychological philosophies made to help people understand their journey of being part of something, part of the human condition, part of the human experience, part of a family, part of anything, and being able to stand up and be real. This has made it very, very difficult. Now, Chiron is making its second trip through Aries in this era, in the electrical era. The first one was in early 1980s up to around there's only so many planets I can spin in my mind at the same time. So let's just take a brief look. For those of you who are a little bit older, this might be helpful, but that Chiron entered Aries The last time it entered in 1969. Pardon me, April 1st, 1968. I knew that. And so from 1968, remember, April 1968 was the end of the Peace and Love 60s. 4 days later, Martin Luther King is assassinated. And then 12 weeks later, Robert F. Kennedy is assassinated. Chiron stays in Aries clear through, it makes its first ingress to Taurus in 1976. So let's just use those as our boundaries. First arrives in Aries 1968 and exits 1976. It is the 70s. We think of as the 70s. A lot of identity politics and the fragmentation of the decentralization of various civil rights movements that split apart. There was a civil rights movement, then there was an anti-war movement, and then the anti-war movement all of a sudden fragments into the student movement and the feminist movement and the black movement and the Puerto Rican movement, the Native American movement, the gay movement, the lesbian movement, the student, and so on. Fragmentation. My sense of Chiron in Aries, and we're seeing this very similar thing now. We're seeing this fragmentation and this extreme obsession with identity politics that just comes on like a tsunami in the late 2010s when Chiron enters Aries again. And my sense of Chiron is not that it is precipitating this, but that it is here to help us heal this, to integrate this, and to find common ground. And in an individual, there are the conditions that give rise to this. There are the conditions that give rise to someone thinking that the button they wear is somehow representative of the person that they are. And you can say, well, I'm a so-and-so, and I'm wearing the so-and-so button. But is that actually helpful? Is it actually representative? Chiron wants us to take a holistic and integrated view of who we are. And so Chiron, I think, in this slightly less than halfway through its journey through Aries, is helping us reassemble all of these fragments and facets of self that have been created, by the lives that we are living. Now, there's another influence in early Pisces called Salacia that I have been bringing in, especially into the later readings, and I think let's make a brief comment on that. Salacia represents the concept of sexual appropriateness. It's not about salaciousness. Salacia was not a particularly salacious, not even meekly salacious entity. She was apparently a virgin sea nymph courted by Neptune, the god of the oceans and rivers and earthquakes. And Neptune made a formal overture to Salacia in the form of sending a dolphin with a marriage proposal, right? So this is, these are not free, funky, and freaky swingers. This is like extremely well respectful and boundaried and a formal quality to Salacia. So I know the prevailing attitude in astrology is salaciousness, but they haven't done the work on this. And I'll include the article on the resources page and possibly right on your page. But anyways, it'll be easy to find. And so what Salacia is talking about, in my view, is the necessity to have your own internal barometer so that you have a sense of what is appropriate for you at any given time. And if more people had this, a lot less things would go wrong in sexual encounters. And a sense of sexual appropriateness is not the Nancy Reagan just say no, or the 1950s thing, aspirin is the birth control pill. Why is that? Well, put two of them between your knees and you won't get pregnant. Yeah, right. So appropriateness is what you decide is right for you. And that may mean any diversity of things along the spectrum of possibilities, but it really means having the self-respect in the case of Aries in the second, having the self-respect to know what is right for you, to know what you want, and being willing to, let's say, suspend the moral judgments and projections of other people to make your own choices and your own decisions. And those other people range from Catholic school nuns to Boy Scout leaders to parents and grandparents to peers and friends and current and past partners who've attempted to make these kinds of projections onto you. And there is something that is liberating and genuinely sexy about claiming your prerogative to act on your values. And in the times when you're not acting on your values, it is helpful to be honest and say, well, I really want to do that. It is within my moral construct to do that. I think it's perfectly ethical and creative and loving to do that. But it's going to threaten my boyfriend. And therefore, recognizing that he has a concern that really shouldn't be imposed on me, I'm temporarily going to accept that value of being imposed on me. But to know that you're doing it, and I think to recognize that there that you're opening the space for a self-betrayal by not really standing in your desire and asserting your right to be who you are in a relationship, a very important thing for you to do right now. Now, into this mix, we've covered the influence of Eris for a century, Chiron for the last 4 or 5 years, Salacia, this goes ahead 20 years. Jupiter is here now, your ruling planet, Jupiter, classical ruling planet. That's what I mean when I say ruling planet. Back to the, you know, when this was mapped out, like in the 4th century BC. Jupiter is in Aries. So now all of this self-esteem stuff, self-respect stuff, know who you are, understand your value, and be able to translate that into value for others, right? You can't just hang up a shingle that says, I charge $1,000 an hour. At a certain point, you have to be able to influence someone else that you're going to provide that value to them. You have all of this working for you at once. Pardon me, I'm in a little bit of slight healing respiratory stuff associated with very dry air, and notably, this is the first in many of these readings where I've not had a humidifier blowing in my face, so my chest is clearing out, and I'm feeling a lot better. All right, so, but not perfect. So Jupiter here is giving you this sense of your being and of your presence. So you've got Jupiter in the second, Saturn coming in the first. You should have absolutely no problem standing up to the world in a whole new way, because you've got those two influences working together, the two largest planets together, 2,000 times the size of the Earth, are now filling your chart right where it counts the most. Pretty cool. Next house. Okay, so Jupiter keeps going in 2023, and by May 16th, it completely clears Aries, not to return for 12 more years. It clears Aries and lands in Taurus, where it will be for more than a year. So we get this, I think of it as a kind of an astrological bonus of Jupiter very well placed in Taurus between mid-May of 23 and late May of 24. And here is another, the third house is state of mind. And to have Taurus here actually describes Pisces as somewhat grounded in one's state of mind. Through doing these readings, I'm coming up with a concept for an astrology book, which is basically that who made up these descriptions of the sun signs in the past? When you look at the solar chart and you get a map of what the sign is about, you find out that Pisces is mentally grounded, potentially one of the most mentally and psychologically stable signs, in part based on your flexibility. It doesn't always have to be that way, but you know, because things can go wrong, but you know there's a place where you can come back to a grounded and dependable mental frame of reference. So it's also about your communication skills. Taurus on the third, very helpful for things like writing and speaking of any kind. So recognize, in my opinion, that you have a potential gift here. Taurus on the third. So then Jupiter enters in May, joining Uranus, which has been there back to 2018. So the stability of Taurus has been under some, let's say, revision and renovation by this revolutionary and disruptive influence of Taurus, but it's given you fresh ideas. I'm sure that if you're any kind of a thinker, speaker, writer, those are the main, speaker, thinker, writer, and marketer. Third house is about marketing, particularly local. It's about commerce. It's the house involved with Mercury inherently, and or Hermes, and this is about buying and selling. I had an eye-popping experience when I was at Delos, and the temple to Mercury, was the social club of merchants. That's how seriously this was taken. At Delos, the temple of Hermes was also the social club of the people who did a lot of import-export on that island, so they didn't really make anything there. It was all import-export, right? So remember, the third house is where the people who buy and sell meet them there, and there's good ideas here. And Jupiter's arriving too, so Jupiter is going to remind you of your value, and then you get to go to the meeting where people buy and sell shit and be like, yeah, this is what I got. I've got a lot of stuff here. This is really good stuff. Try it out, and you make your way, and you can do this. This is what I'm suggesting here, that there's a lot of can do to your astrology, and Saturn, always operating in the background, is can do what hasn't been done before. So this all peaks in April of 2024 with the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus in the third. So it, like a lot of things, is building to something. Very, very exciting. So keep experimenting know the value of your wares and what you do, and then go to the third house and learn how to communicate that value in such a way to facilitate an exchange. That's what we're looking for, an exchange. All right, next house, Gemini. So Gemini is your fourth house. Gemini is about grounding. It's about your security. It's about your home. It's about your estate. It's about the, to me, the fourth house extends out to the garden walls. The fourth house contains the ego. It contains a sense of self that is definable, and usually the die is cast in childhood, but we do a lot of learning as adults as well. Now, you have had, first of all, you have Gemini on this house. It's one of the reasons why Pisces like to have two of things. Like to have two places to go, two of things. Particularly having two places to live. Now, I realize this may sound like a billionaire shit, but not necessarily. It can be a place you go for a week during the summer. It can be how you relate to a hotel room. When you're in the hotel room, you treat that as your home. It can be about having a home and a studio. It can be about having a space within your space to do something special, like so little as a table or a large closet or an attic or part of the basement or the shed, the garage or something, defined as a separate space where you can experience the other side of who you are emotionally. So it's not just a material thing. It's a state of mind thing that allows you to move back and forth between parallel states of consciousness, parallel ideas about what matters to you, and to experience them both. Now, Mars has been here since August, 7-month trip through the fourth house. Mars usually blows through a sign in anywhere from like 1 to 2 months, but when it makes a retrograde, it stays in the same little 30-degree pocket of the zodiac for 7 months, and it's been here. And this has represented some changing of your relationship to your physical space. It could represent a claiming of your physical space. It could represent a rearrangement or renovation of your physical space, a clearing and cleaning of these spaces. I would say that, you know, we've got a couple of more months of Mars in Gemini. It goes direct in about 2 weeks from now, but take advantage of the clearing as claiming. You know the feeling when you've got a closet full of junk and then you like got stuff to put places and you don't know where to put it, and you're like, oh, I seem to have a closet full of junk in my portfolio. So you empty the closet, you deal with all the stuff, and suddenly you've dealt with all that stuff. You've dispatched it to wherever it might go and claim things you didn't know you had. That's funny. You clean a closet like, oh, that's where that hat was. Really, I really like that hat. And then you have something to solve another organizational problem. A lot of that going on with Mars retrograde in Gemini. Now, the Mars retrograde in Gemini has also been about a clearing of the psychic closets, because Mars has been making this intriguing set of squares to Neptune. Did it in October, did it in November, and there's about to be a third one in late March, just as Mars changes signs. So there is a get real with yourself quality to this Mars square Neptune. I think that Mars square Neptune has been fantastic preparation for all that is to emerge in March, where that Mars square Neptune ends. Mars moves into Cancer. Where we find one of the richest, most lavish corners of your chart. I had great fun with this in the written reading. So Pisces is creative in the sense of being connected to creation. Just the inherent nature of Pisces. It's the last sign. It's the closest sign to the reality of what we think of as our concept of God. It is an opening to other dimensions and other completely different possibilities. It has this cosmic and oceanic quality, and it is a creative reservoir. But the way you would express that is in your fellow water sign Cancer, fifth place from Pisces. By the way, just making a little pitch here for whole sign houses, what makes something the fifth is not a line that goes down the middle of something. What makes something the fifth, for example, this glorious, useful house where there's the ability to have fun and celebrate and do daring things just for the fun of doing it, and what separates the difference between like art and handicrafts and all that good stuff is the water-to-water resonance. Need to stay close to our roots here. So what makes the fifth this creative and expressive place is it's a trine from your sign. And the trine embraces the fact of the similar element between your place and this other place where you're going to do something that's very close to who you are. Art is close to who the artist is. That's what makes it art. And what makes it art is you stay awake, you're paying attention. So what happens in March is Mars moves into Cancer and makes a 2-month, the slowest it can possibly go without being retrograde, a 2-month trip through your fifth place. This is fun. This is exciting. This is inwardly, creatively challenging and relevant. Now there are two other points that have I need to do a more granular ephemeris, but the 2023 has the arrival of two slow movers, Esbolus, the fourth centaur, and Chaos, a very important planet out just beyond Pluto. Again, not an exoplanet orbiting our sun. Chaos, as I explained in the written, is the prime Greek creation goddess. She is the fertile void. She is the Quaoar, the Quaoar of Greek mythology, where there was nothing, and then there was chaos, and then there was something. All the other gods and goddesses emerge, meaning facets of consciousness and psychology and members of the spiritual family of humanity. Chaos to me represents this represents the energy field where creativity is possible. Creativity really meaning two things. It means seeing things a new way and expressing them, but creativity also is the act of staying awake. So anyone can be creative as long as they stay awake and love what they do. So you really can have a break installation artist who's just really good at making sure that these brakes are installed well and understands it and looks at all the equipment around the brakes and makes sure the right quality of materials are used and all this stuff. You can have an artist in any field. Art is the ability to stay awake. Now, I was talking with a great painter the other night, and I said, well, Marshall McLuhan defines the artist as someone who, he takes a broad definition, as someone who stays awake. And Mark said, no, that's a narrow definition. Oh, right. Okay, yeah. I conclude any tool, whether a wrench or a 1 millimeter paintbrush, but the staying awake part, that's the thing. So chaos is saying stay awake. We'll have Mars conjunct chaos. There's a creative renaissance here that will be kind of welcomed into being and fired up by Mars. Now, Esbolus also going into the fifth, this is another, centaurs are just such beautiful ideas. And Esbolus speaks of the common ground that all living things share. Now, we know that that's water, but we also know that it's carbon. We're carbon-based life. And the word Esbolus means carbon dust. And so, you know, we could say we are stardust, we are golden, but we could also say we are carbon dust, we are water. And so Esbolus is moving into Cancer for a long trip. Again, this is like decades. And so you're going to have this here for the long foreseeable future. And what Esbolus grants is the ability to connect to something as a necessity, of survival. And the beauty of art is that it's this gift given to us to be able to process our reality, turn it, meaning grief and struggle and difficulty and challenge and change and turmoil and all this stuff that we are confronted with by humans. But art gives us the ability to turn it into something beautiful and healing within ourselves, and then to share that beauty with others in a kind of a vector that transmits the healing energy just by the experience of seeing, feeling, and experiencing the work product of the struggle that other people have resolved. So Esbolus, fabulous for this. Fabulous. And again, a long-term visitor. All right, let's cover a couple of other topics in this, which will be the longest of the audio. So I'm just going to keep going until I think I've covered the basics. There is a Venus retrograde in Leo this year. So one of the real bonus points, the triple word score points for Pisces, is you have Leo on the sixth house. The sixth house is work and well-being. This bestows you a potentially, unless you work hard to the contrary, strong, healthy personal constitution. It also bestows a sense of pride in your work. That is a little bit going out the window here in the age of running the alpha test on the public, where the people whose work we encounter more than anyone else's, software writers, think, maybe it's not right, and their bosses are even worse. Maybe it's not right, but we'll let these chumps work it out and whatever, lose their project or crash their computer, or, they get a $25,000 electric bill. Who fucking cares? But you don't have that attitude. You are happiest when you're doing work in which you take pride, and it would be therefore a wholesome activity to take pride in whatever work that you do. You're going to make it the best thing that it can be. So if you're cleaning the bathroom, you clean the bathroom the right way. And if you're building something, you build it the right way. If you're writing something, speaking something about something, organize something, you make it as good as it can be. Venus retrograde is going to enhance this. It could be a very creative and productive year at work for you. But remember the Saturn principle of focusing your energy and gathering your focus and using it in a carefully thought through and refined way. All right, so a couple of more houses, and let's just go straight through. We could take a break, but let's just keep going straight through. Reminder, and I've covered this in every Pisces annual and astrology studio for many, several years, like 3, 4 years, 5 years. There's an influence in your seventh house of relationships, which is Virgo, called Trans-Pluto. This, too, is it's a non-existent hypothetical make-believe planet, but all of astrology is non-existent, hypothetical, and make-believe. It is a form of basically science fiction. So who cares? Let's welcome in another. I used several of these, nine actually, of these hypothetical points. So Trans-Pluto is a particularly trustworthy one in terms of its talking about keeping your focus and having a point of integration. So it's important with this in the seventh to take a holistic view of your relationships, but also to remember that you're going to want to have certain relationships for certain purposes and to know what the purpose of the relationship is. Now, people being people will do what they will do, but it helps if you just have that sense of a boundary. All right, this is what I'm doing here. This is why we've kind of convened this meeting of the two of us. What are we doing with this meeting? Let's do the thing we said that we were going to do. So that enough said on that. In the sexual realm of the eighth and the business realm of the eighth, you've got an influence, again, another one of these like 15, 20-ish year transits. I don't really know how long Logos is going to be in Libra, but it's a very important thing that is in a way defining Libra for us right now, which is saying, get the words right. Work the words and the idea together. They often emerge together. You often have to write a page about something. You read the page. You find the idea buried in the page. So know when that happens. Know when you've buried the lead. Get the language right. Get the language of agreements right. Do not accept deadlines in contract negotiation. Don't let anyone say, you will sign this contract by January 15th. It's like, actually, oh, how nice of you. I think I'll sign this contract when I agree with what it says. As a Quaker, I don't swear oaths, but I also have that's why the president I, Joe Blow, hereby swear or affirm. You ever heard of that language in the oath of office? The or affirm is included for us scarce few Quakers out there who don't swear oaths. We affirm things. So part of that for me is also fully embodying and then carrying forward into the world the idea that you should never sign a contract where you're not fully committed to do all the things the contract says. That's why you sign a contract. You don't sign a contract, generally speaking, in normal civil society to make you do things that you aren't supposed to do or don't want to do. You're agreeing to do what you agree to do. That's a contract. Any other contract is a kind of a trap, and you should always look in the contract for, like, how to get out. What's the exit ramp in the contract? So that logos in Libra is emphatically saying only sign what you are willing to completely abide by. Okay, let's scoot all the way around to Capricorn and Aquarius. These are the two Saturn-ruled signs. Saturn has been in these signs now for 5 years, a little bit more. It's now about to finally enter a water sign for the first time in like 8 or 9 years. So that's a sea change and some pressure off. But let's consider what's going on in Capricorn and Aquarius. Mainly, the main thing going on is Pluto is going to be working its way back and forth over the Capricorn-Aquarius line, kind of blurring that line, which is the line between corporate reality and social reality. And in your chart, because Capricorn is the 11th place, between social reality and deeply interior reality. So a couple of things without, you know, going through every... I could read all those points up there in Capricorn on the top left, and I covered some of them in the form of Pholus and Quaoar earlier. Pholus and Quaoar earlier on. That was in a podcast today. Sorry, but it's still up. It's the December 28th edition, and that has some useful information about the way in which we have the ability to tap into a much deeper concept of ancestral wisdom than the usual, my great-grandparents lived through the Depression and, you know, they ate one slice of bread and that second slice of bread was called cheese. You know, we live with a lot of that. And these folks who, we got to hand it to them, survived this disaster, most of them. Also passed on a lot of bad ancestral information and negative expectations. And you have a natural inherent capacity to really and truly draw on past wisdom. Another thing going on for you is that you are a gathering point. To be that gathering point, you may not have to do much. Or you may need to just extend yourself in a way and get into social situations and then from there start to make your own scene. There's a lot in your charts right now about making your own scene and not having to be part of the scene of other people that doesn't really fit for you, that's not really what you're into, or that in some way contradicts your personal ethics. So make your own scene. Gather the people around you for the purposes that you have. And with Capricorn as your social house, the 11th place, it will help to have some structure around this, whether it's meeting every Wednesday or done through an organization or where there's a common space. Right? Structure can be any form of organized time, organized place, organized purpose, and some social order. Capricorn speaks of things happening in person. not in digital. There's a number of cautionary things here about keeping your interest in person. Taurus on the third is saying, hand the person some silver coins and take your stuff, rather than, ordering from this wonderful thing in Hawaii, right? Lots available right where you are. I'd personally rather buy the thing from Hawaii at a thing on my place on my block than buy FedEx from Hawaii. I always want some local interest. Capricorn is saying traditional, structured, physical, local, and dependable. So be that dependability. Now, the most intriguing transit that you know we all are having and that you've gotten, I sat easily with the last section of the Pisces reading last night for most of the day. And then I got up to that point and I stopped for an hour or so and did other things to work through how I was going to focus this message of Pluto commencing a 20-year trip through Aquarius, which no one has ever lived through consciously. Pluto was not discovered the last time that it was in Aquarius. And there was a lot of social engineering going on at the time that Pluto was in Aquarius. And Aquarius right now is one of the crime scenes of this thing where, just to give one example, somebody's worked as a senior EMT or paramedic for a city for 20 years. Imagine the experience and the things that person has seen. And then they serve valiantly through the crisis of 2021, thinking they're risking their life, being willing to do so. And then all goes well, and then they're fired the next year for refusing medicine they don't think is their medicine. This is the toxic manifestation of Aquarius. We've seen a lot of this, and I think that we are fools to somehow think that this is normal or acceptable. Now, one of the things that makes Pisces what it is that the sign Aquarius, which most people experience as a kind of an external social concept, groups and organizations and who's on the inside and who's on the outside and who is allowed through the door, who is invited to the party, who's not invited to the party. That's how Aquarius is experienced for most people, and also social patterns that are supposedly inviolable. Someone I knew in Paris once said to me, they accepted a new person into their social group for the first time in 10 years. I'm thinking, I'm thrilled that you finally allowed a new friend in, but this is some kind of a helpful policy to have. I think that Pisces, because it contains Aquarius, can see through this kind of elitist bullshit. Now, we're about to have, and that elitist bullshit also involves firing the senior paramedic who has only served his community valiantly and helpfully. Pluto in Aquarius is something you're going to experience as an internal phenomenon, meaning as a facet of your consciousness, as much as you will experience it out in the world. There's something that is internal to you. And where I finally got myself on this topic to last night is the vital importance of the Dharma, the concept of the Dharma to Pisces, acting as if to hold the world together. Now, this is a concept out of Eastern mysticism. It kind of sprawls out through the higher forms of Buddhism and Hinduism, but it's very much about you, and it is a reminder that you contain the world that you experience. Now, sometimes I wish we could do this a little more boldly, in a sense of like having it be more easily available. But right now, there's another situation where the social order looks like it is coming under some extreme new pressure under the influence of Pluto in Aquarius. And that is likely to be experienced as a series of disruptions to the known social order. And in such times, it is very important that as many of us who are familiar with the concept act as if to hold the world together. And so this means, first of all, as an internal quest within yourself for a kind of unity and cohesion and acceptance, and not playing this exclusionary game of like, you don't have the right sneakers on, you can't come in, because you are a kind of an archetypal model of that inner cohesion that is going to become ever more important in the world around us, because it is under such unbelievable stress, under such challenge and such difficulty right now, most of which is coming through the transformation of society that we just haven't given a name to yet, what has been done to us by digital, this dehumanizing thing. And so the nature of this transit for you is about remaining in contact with your humanity and remembering that you contain these many different facets of what it means to be human, which are expressed outwardly as different people in different situations, but to hold that inner cohesion and work for that inner cohesion, and to activate a kind of group soul initiation. So this is another one of those ways in which the transits of 2023 describe you as a gathering point. Several other different places, which I haven't gotten into in detail, but describe you as a gathering point, most easily seen by Cupido, one of these pretend planets in Capricorn, and Pluto in Aquarius, the way they land in your chart. And so I'm not sure you were ever planning a career as a socialite, but the world needs socialites who are able to just help people get together for a purpose and more or less either get along or work it out. And the way that you're doing this is to do your work to be in harmony with yourself, and to generally beware of the, soul evaporating quality of this digital realm, which you can then, when you start to see the way this is happening, recognize the ways that you can remain in contact with your inherent humanity to be able to have that be ready at all times, and to make that available to others, because it is a very rare earth element right now, and most people have just fallen for this completely false reality of digitized socialization. South Park has brutally made fun of this. People bringing iPads to the movies so they think they're with their friends and things like this. It's like, well, kind of need to either go to the movies or have like a watch party in the house, like an actual gathering where people show up and do things and experience each other in human form. So we'll end on that note of you are on the advanced team into this brave new age that we seem to have entered at some point in the past when no one said that we did, of helping humanity stay in touch with its humanity. And that starts with you maintaining ongoing your deep connection to who you are and why you belong on the planet at this time. Okay, well, signing off from the inner space readings, all 24 of them at this moment, on what day is it today? It is the 28th, I believe, a Wednesday at 1:09 in the afternoon here on a absolutely beautiful day in Kingston, New York. It has been quite a learning adventure. This project every year is one of the main ways I have learned astrology, to do these, to have to work out an idea like that I can share with you over and over again, you know, using many of the same basic elements. Fortunately, I've got a good palette of colors to choose from. I mean, I have much more I could say to you. There will be, of course, more in the readings that come out through the year in various different forms and in different articles. But for now, I will sign off from this work and thank you for your business and your time, which I think is much more valuable than your money, and your trust in me, which I consider to be more valuable than anything at all in terms of what we are doing. So on that note, thank you, and I'll catch you a little bit further on down the road, and let's go out with some absolutely beautiful guitar playing by Daniel Mark Sternstein, who taught me and came over yesterday and recorded this for us. Lots of love, and